Tim Stearns on a Tuesdays with Tim. Tim, how you doing, my friend? How's everything going?
Great, John. I'm doing well. I hope you are, too.
I am doing wonderful. So I love old newspapers and reading how things were covered in real time, to the point that I think listeners are sick of me telling them what the headlines were from 100 years ago or so. But today is apt. So we were going to talk a little bit about 1929, which is never a good start to any conversation about markets. There's a new book out that I haven't read it yet, but I can't wait to. I wanted to read you the headlines from the Chicago Tribune from Wednesday, October 30th, 1929. This is after Black Tuesday. The markets had begun crashing the week before on a Thursday, October the 24th, with a pretty steep drop. They picked up a little bit the next day, as they tend to do in these up and down periods. The markets dropped on Monday the 28th. Tuesday the 29th is when people kind of say that's really when the Great Depression or the big stock market crash was. The headline the next day, stock slump ends in rally. I guess there had been a little rally at the end of the day, and the Tribune was optimistic that that was the end. So much so that even after another day of downs on the Wednesday and Thursday, the next day they wrote, market scare over, stocks rebound. Tim, just suffice to say that, and maybe there's a lesson there, that sometimes it's tough to see the forest through the trees when you're going through what could end up being a down market ultimately, right, Tim?
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about the book. I just finished it, 1929 by Andrew Sorkin. It's unbelievable the different nuances that are the same as back then. You know, for example, AI is everywhere. Back then it was automobiles and telephones, and everyone was hopping on the newest technologies and things that weren't exactly proven. And, you know, I like to quote the great Warren Buffett, you know, it's insane to risk what you have and need for something you don't have and don't need. And we're seeing a lot of investors doing that.
There is some similarities. There are some differences. I think we have more democratized system of markets, where a lot of people are more involved. Information flows quicker. And, you know, you got an SEC now that in theory can help out in these certain cases. But it is interesting to have a book come out about the ultimate bubble during a time when some people think we might be in one. In fact, Tim, we got a lot of texts yesterday from people that are worried about that exact same thing. And this is not to say that we're headed towards a Great Depression. But, no. Tim, I guess it just means to, like, what, check your blind spot?
Exactly. I mean, both periods exhibited high stock valuations with high price to earnings ratios. And I see that today. And that, yes, you should definitely be having a hard talk with yourself and figuring out if you're going to invest like you're 40 or if you're going to invest like you want to retire for 25 to 30 years.
Do you think that a lot of people look at their 401k number or their IRA and they're like, yay, like this is easy, without maybe fully realizing that that number isn't fully realized, right? It is a made up number. I mean, it might as well be treated as such.
Right, right. And what you're seeing right there is, you know, FOMO, you know, a herd mentality. You have ordinary investors rushing the market to capitalize on their perceived gains when really, you know, and that theme kind of drives the prices higher and everyone's real happy. And all you need nowadays is a computer to be a trader. You know, you have Robinhood and all that stuff and the internet. A lot of that has caused people to be, I think, lazy and not remember history.
So what's the takeaway then, if you read 1929 or you have any thought in your head that, hey, I want to be like the people who were able to sell or at least diversify in mid-October of 1929, as opposed to in mid-November of 1929 when stocks were down 40-some percent in a month and would only continue to free fall for the better part of a decade or remain stagnant after that. Like, what do you do? Like, you're not urging people to just go rush and sell everything. Then you got a huge tax burden. I think people, I think people might believe you and be on with you, Tim, about this, but not know what that means as in a way of planning.
I would make sure that they're taking an X-ray of what they have in their portfolio. We had a gentleman, I told you about this a couple of weeks ago, who came in here at the age of 70. He had 80% in stocks, and 25% of that was in Tesla. I mean, these are things that people are they're losing their minds. You know, we've had the market go down and it rebounds real fast. We seem to have a really short-term memory.
But you don't, like, just sell everything in someone's portfolio that you work with, right?
Absolutely not. But I would make sure that we're positioned so that they don't lose everything, you know, by having stop losses, having, you know, floors in the product, and making sure that they're active and tactical.
800-640-2256. I think I've got it down to memory finally, Tim.
Good job.
I'm not good with phone numbers. I need them in front of me, but I think I got that one. 800-640-2256, tjsterns.com. Tim, we're not done. Hang on the line there. We got more to talk about. Tim Stearns, TJ Stearns. I've got some more 1929 comparisons and contrasts from this year to then, Tim. You ready for a couple?
I am.
Okay. High valuations. A lot of people worried that, well, spending is still up and consumer spending is good, that perhaps we have overheated some of these companies in terms of what they are worth from their valuation to the dollar. Is that something you look at and worry at too?
Absolutely. We look at all those things that go into why a stock is as high as it can get without the valuation. That gives us pause.
Does it give you pause on like a broad sense? Because it's not like, well, I don't know if you do any day trading, Tim, but like that's not what we do with our retirement accounts, right? We're trying to like be in the market, not beating the market, as famous people have said. So is it a more of a vibe? Like if you feel like valuations generally are hot, that's where you start to maybe course correct?
That's correct. I mean, we're looking, you know, for the, you know, holes in the story, and there are plenty. And that gives me, you know, pause, because I'm looking at, you know, in 1929, there was public discussion and concern among economists like there is now that we've reached a peak. And I just feel like a lot of people are forgetting their X's and O's, their fundamentals, if you will, of investing. And, you know, I saw that Buffett is sitting on a lot of cash. I also saw that he's not even buying his own stock back. That makes me nervous, you know, and I just, you know, trust but verify. We want to make sure that we're, you know, having stop losses, we're on the job at all times, that type of thing, to make sure that people don't lose their hard-earned money.
Having said that, Warren Buffett's 95 years old, and that's at a different position than someone who's 65. Like, at 65, God willing, you're going to live another 30, 35 years like Warren Buffett. You still got to be gaining and making money somewhere, Tim, right? I mean, you're going to run out if you go all into 0% gains, right?
100%. I agree with you. But I'm saying that you can also take the gas off a little bit and not be crazy. And, you know, we have so many people who come in here with risks that they don't even understand. And, you know, they're, you know, old advisor who's been in the market 10 years has never seen a bear market. That's humorous to me, you know, because I've lived 32 years of this and I've seen it all. And I just don't want to see good people get hurt again.
That's what we talked about. Like 2022, yeah, was a dip, but a quick rebound. Of course, yep. We had the pandemic was a quick dip. And a severe one, including days in which the circuit breakers had to go off, which is always the most frightening thing. And a key difference from 1929, we have circuit breakers now, which can help modify and nullify some steep differences. One thing that I've seen as a similarity in a couple places, I'm sure it's in Andrew Ross Sorkin's book as well, is this debt to leverage risk. Can you explain? I mean, this is not something we do. We don't buy stock on margins. Like, we buy stock with real dollars. But bigger traders and companies, what do they do to buy stock?
Well, hedge funds, the joke is, you know, they're driving a Ferrari and the next day you see them walking to the bus. And basically, you know, they're leveraged big time, where they're taking out, you know, loans that are insane to get stock and then leverage the heck out of it. Much like you going putting, you know, 20% down and getting a nice big house. But with this is very volatile. And if they get a call on that, it's going to be, you know, a quick exit where they're in a lot of trouble.
So it's like taking out a quick loan for cash because they think they're going to make something quickly. They've been rewarded perhaps in the past couple of years. But what you're saying is if all of a sudden they aren't doing so great or the stock price goes down, now they're chasing and they don't have the liquid funds to pay off the debts that they have.
That's right. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, my son Jake, who works with us here, and you've met him, was talking about how the AI bubble looks just like the dot-com bubble. You know, where you see, you know, things headed that way. I mean, you need to learn from history, and I don't think a lot of people are being remembering that as well as they should be.
Some people might be listening to me like, wait, market downturns are a natural part of the ebb and flow of markets, and you know, we're in the vest, we're in the markets for a long time. This is important. You're differing your advice if someone walks in the door at the age of 35 versus 55 or 60, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, nothing's cookie cutter here, but we're going to take more risk with a 30-year-old. But I'm also going to tell them that, you know, we don't have to put, you know, all our eggs in one basket of a stock just to try to get the feel for what it, you know, it's like to have a winner. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. A lot of people are echoing on the text line the fears and thoughts that you have. And there is a sort of weird science to, if everyone starts talking about this might be the end, that you can actually kind of bring it upon that way. Not that we right. want the market to go down, but, no. You know, there's a lot of worry up and down. Tim, people can call you if they misunderstood or wanted to know a little bit more about what we talked about tonight. They just give you a ring and you can chat it through with them, right?
Exactly. We have, you know, the wherewithal to give people analysis to see what kind of risks they're actually carrying. I'd say about 9 out of 10 people who call in are shocked by what they see. They don't have a clue. So if they give us a call at 800-640-2256, that's 800-640-2256. We'll be happy to help the first 10 callers that call in.
I love that. 800-640-2256, tjsterns.com. And I got to read that book. So after you're done reading it, Tim, mail it over to me, okay?
You got it. It's on my Kindle, so it's going to be hard.
Well, yeah, well, no, send me the whole Kindle. That's fine. No guarantee you'll get it back. Tim, take care, okay?
All right, thanks, John. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. That's Tim Sterns. He does great work. We always appreciate him on our Tuesdays with Tim.